children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
I'm just a poor,
singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing story from the Bible in Living Sound.
And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.
And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day.
Johnny, stop again, please.
Okay, then.
Are there any questions you'd like to ask about the second day of creation?
Yeah. What does it mean when it says God divided the waters from the waters?
Just what it says, Pat. He divided the waters on the earth from the waters in the sky.
There isn't any water in the sky.
There isn't?
No, not unless it means the clouds and the rain.
That's exactly what it means.
I'm pretty smart, I am.
If you're so smart, what does firmament mean?
Firmament? That's easy. It means, what does it mean, Dan?
Today we would call it the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere. In other words, the air.
The air was made for us and the animals to breathe. Also, the carbon dioxide in the air is for the plants.
And the birds fly in the air.
I know why God created air on the second day, right after he created light. Living things such as plants and animals need air as well as light. So, God created them before he did the living things.
Well, as we've already said, God does first things first. Can you think of other uses for air?
I can. It protects us from being bombarded by meteors.
It does?
Sure. Didn't you know that?
I don't even know what a meteor is.
Meteors are pieces of a material that fly through space, like the moon, only smaller. When one of them flies towards the Earth and hits the atmosphere, it burns up from the friction caused by the atmosphere.
Well, there's also another function of air. You know what it is? We see and feel it every day. You don't know? Well, the atmosphere regulates the temperature.
Oh, I knew that.
So you see, children, it was pretty important, the things God made on the second day of creation.
What did he make on the third day?
We'll see.
Okay.
And God said,
let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear.
And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said,
let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth.
And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day.
Let's talk about that, Dan.
All right, Johnny.
May I say something, Dan?
Of course.
Well, I just wanted to point out that again God did things in their logical order. On the first day he created light, on the second air, on the third land. All these things needed to be created before he could create living things.
We've mentioned this fact before, but it is a good point, worthy of emphasis.
I guess God is smart. So smart, men are finding out new things about science most every day.
You can be sure that God created just the right thing at the right time for the right purpose.
Why don't we try to list all the things God created on the third day of creation?
Good idea. Each of us will name one thing. Mother, you go first.
Dry land.
Oceans.
Mountains.
Valleys.
Plains.
Islands.
Minerals.
Yes, and that includes iron, copper, granite, marble, silver, gold, and, well, the entire vast storehouse of mineral wealth above and below the ground.
Did God actually make the rivers and lakes, too?
Yes, he did.
Whose turn is it to name something that God created on the third day?
Mine, I think. Well, he made grass.
Fruit trees.
All kinds of trees.
Flowers.
I wonder if we realize how many different kinds of trees there are.
I can name quite a few. Apple tree, pear, cherry, plum, orange, lemon, grapefruit, walnut, olive, coconut, banana.
But Johnny, you named only fruit trees. Think of the thousands of other kinds of trees there are. Pat, how about you naming some flowers?
If she can.
Roses, violets, pansies, asters, chrysanthemums, orchids, daisies, primrose, poppies, hollyhocks, sweet peas, lilacs, marigolds, sunflowers, and geraniums.
You could go on and on naming flowers and trees, ranging from the simple algae, no bigger than a dot, to the huge redwood trees that grow on the Pacific coast of the United States.
And the wonderful thing about all plant life is that plants reproduce themselves, each after its own kind.
We just studied that in school. Some reproduce themselves by dividing their cells. Others do it with seeds that are scattered by the wind, carried away by water, animals, or insects.
Just think, children, of the secrets of life that are contained in seeds, however small, and how God repeats the act of creation in them over and over, day after day, year after year.
There are other marvelous things about plants. They are the only organisms on Earth that are actually able to create foodstuffs. All life depends on them.
Which reminds me, I'm hungry.
What do you mean, Mom? Plants create foodstuffs.
For one thing, they manufacture oxygen, which we need to breathe. The plants also know the secret of using sunlight to produce carbohydrates, or sugars, and starches.
Well, this all takes place in the green leaves of plants.
Plants also know how to extract nitrogen and other chemicals from the soil and convert them into proteins.
I never knew plants did all that.
And I never knew Mother was so smart.
Oh, I think we've taken Mother too much for granted. Just like we take God's world for granted. We don't stop to think of the countless marvels that lie in all creation. If we did, we'd be more humble and grateful for the miracles of everyday life.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Trouble in this world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Makes me wonder if I can trust anybody. I heard my dad saying that people in big companies are just out to make money, even if they have to cheat their customers. And that leaders of countries hurt their people so they can live in big mansions. And I even heard a story about some parents who hurt their own children. How sad is that?
Well, we can't stop trusting people, can we?
I don't think so. We need to learn stuff in school, buy things at the store, and live in our houses. I mean, my mom and dad would never hurt me, would they?
Remember what the preacher said last week in church? He said that the only person we can trust for sure is God. He would never hurt us or make us sad.
So? Well, if someone loves God, that means that that person is trying to be like God. You know, someone who's kind and trustworthy. Well, our parents love God, so I think we can trust them. And some other parents may not believe in God, but they're trying to live honest, kind lives. So I think we can trust them too.
I see what you're saying. We can trust people who are honest and kind, whether they believe in God or not. But if someone isn't living like God wants us to live, you know, being selfish, mean, dishonest, we really shouldn't trust them.
The pastor also said that trusting God is good for your health. We feel more peaceful and happy. We feel like we've got a friend even when everyone else is mean to us.
I guess there is something in this world we can trust God.
That's so good to know.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Bam, bam, bam came a backyard noise. Willie ran outside. His big brother Peter was marching with a toy drum. Bam, bam, bam. Can I be in the band? Asked Willie. No, said Peter. You're not big enough. Besides, you don't have an instrument. Out came Daniel from next door blowing an old horn. Peter came first with a bam, bam, bam. Daniel followed with a tarara, tarara, and bam, bam, bam. And Willie wanted to be in the band. Willie ran to the porch. He looked in his toy box. He pulled out a cardboard tube and blew into it. Toot, toot, toot. Willie went to join the band. But Peter said, you can't play a cardboard tube in our band. Besides, you're not big enough to play in our band. Willie went back to the toy box. He pulled out his teddy bear. He put the tube in the teddy bear's hands. Then Sarah came to play. Ping, went her xylophone. Ping, 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 ta-ra-ra. Bam, bam, bam. And Willie wanted to be in the band. Willie pulled a little guitar out of his toy box. Thring, thring, thring. He went to join the band. But Peter said, we don't want a guitar in our marching band. Willie went back to his toy box. He took out his clown doll. He put the guitar in the clown's lap. Ting-a-ling-a-ling. Molly came playing her triangle. She came to march behind Sarah. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ping, 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 ta-ra-ra, bam, bam, bam. And Willie wanted to be in the band. Willie dug into his toy box. He pulled out an old broken flute. Pfft, pfft. He went to join the band. But Peter said, you can't play that. It's broken. Besides, you're too little for this band. Willie went to the porch. He took his stuffed monkey out of the toy box and stuck the flute in the monkey's hands. Crash, crash. Thomas came to play the cymbals in the band. Crash, crash, crash. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. Ping, ping, ping. Ta-ra-ra. Bam, bam, bam. And Willie wanted to be in the band. The band marched around the house. Crash, crash, crash. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. Ping, ping, ping. Ta-ra-ra. Bam, bam, bam. When they got to the backyard again, the band stopped. There in the backyard was another band. A monkey with a flute, a clown doll with a guitar, and a teddy bear with a cardboard horn. And Willie was pulling them in his wagon. Thomas ran to join the animal band. Crash, crash, crash. Molly ran to follow Thomas. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. Sarah ran to follow Molly. Ping, ping, ping. Daniel ran to follow Sarah. Ta-ra-ra. And Peter followed behind with a bam, bam, bam. Crash, crash, crash. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. Ping, ping, ping. Ta-ra-ra. Bam, bam, bam. And where was Willie? Willie was leading the band.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Wouldn't you like to go on a vacation to a horse ranch with the shoebox kids? But what if your dog ran away into the forest, or was maybe dog-napped by a local Indian girl or her brother? And what if you were stuck on the mountain after dark with a bear nearby? In this Shoebox Kids book, that's what happens to Dee Dee and the other Shoebox Kids. They learn about horses and about two kids who are different. When Dee Dee's dog, Zach, disappears, she turns to Shorty, the tallest cowboy she's ever seen. While Shorty helps the Shoebox Kids learn to ride and handle horses, they help Shorty learn more about the kind of friend Jesus can be. When an accidental meeting with a bear leaves them stranded on the mountain, the Shoebox Kids learn that even when you think you know someone, you can be surprised. And when you judge someone, you might be making a big mistake. But can they find their way back down the mountain? Chapter 1, A Vacation Adventure. "Come here, Zach. Jump in," Dee Dee called. Zach was a year and a half old dog, but he still acted like a puppy. He jumped up and down excitedly as the Adamses loaded their sleeping bags and food into the car. Finally, it was time to go, and Zach was the only one left to get in. "Jump in, Zach." Dee Dee held out her hands. Zach was so excited that he spun around in a circle before he jumped into the car and sat down on the seat beside Dee Dee. Dee Dee gave Zach a big hug. "You don't want to stay behind," she said as she fastened her seatbelt. "We're going to have too much fun." "Okay, Mom and Dad, we're ready. I wish we had a seatbelt for Zach, too, so he can be safe." "That is a very good idea," Mr. Adams said. "I'm glad you are being so conscious about safety. We'll have to find out if someone has invented seatbelts for animals. For now, we'll just keep him riding quietly beside you. We can also ask Jesus to keep all of us safe on our vacation." Dee Dee and her mom and dad held hands while Mr. Adams prayed. "Dear Jesus, thank you for this vacation where we can spend time together as a family. We know you like fun times as much as we do, and we want to invite you to live in us this week. Please send your angels to protect us as we travel." Dee Dee gave her dad's hand a tight squeeze. "Oh, and please take special care of Zach, too." "Thank you, Daddy," Dee Dee said when she opened her eyes. Mr. Adams smiled. "You're welcome, Dee Dee." Dee Dee rode quietly in the car for an hour and a half. She read a book from the school library about Indians and colored some pictures. Zach slept curled up in the seat beside her. She listened once in a while to Mom and Dad as they talked about the exciting vacation they were going to have in the mountains. Dee Dee could hardly wait. It wasn't just her family who was going. The Vargases were going, too. So were the Tans and Jenny and her mom and Willie Teller and his mom and dad. "How much farther is it?" Dee Dee blurted out. Mr. Adams chuckled. "I thought you told us before we left that you weren't going to ask that question." Dee Dee put her hand over her mouth and giggled. "I'm sorry, it was an accident." Mr. Adams slowed down and turned onto a winding gravel road. "Well," he said, "it looks like we are almost there. See that sign?" Dee Dee peered out the window at a sign that read, "Wild Horse Mountain Retreat, 12 miles." Zach woke up when he heard the gravel crunching underneath the tires and licked Dee Dee on the cheek. "See, Zach," Dee Dee said, "only 12 more miles to go." Dee Dee saw a cloud of dust ahead of them. "It looks like someone is just ahead of us," she said. A few minutes later, they drove around a corner right behind the Vargas's station wagon. "That's Maria and Chris's car," Dee Dee shouted. "It sure is," Mrs. Adams said. Dee Dee quickly packed her Indian book and coloring books into her backpack and petted Zach. "We're almost there, Zach. You're going to have so much fun, too." Then she whispered into Zach's ear, "Don't you go running off and get lost in the mountains either, or I might never find you."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come.
let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.